Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now, here's Richard Piper.
Well, thanks, Bob. Welcome, everybody. First off, I want to say happy Martin Luther King Day.
Indeed.
What a man. Positive change in our country against all the odds. You know, I was just a kid when I first heard a recording of the I Have a Dream speech. I wasn't around. I wasn't listening to it when it was first given, but within a year or two, we were all hearing it in school. It was a life changer.
Yeah.
The kinds of things he said then and in many other speeches that he gave were so true, and I think it's just great that our country takes a bit of time out to say thank you and to remember his legacy.
A huge figure in American history.
Yes, yes. He did things that I don't think anybody ever imagined could actually happen. And the beauty of it is that he preached nonviolence.
Right.
And demonstrated that change could take place without doing it at you know, the point of a sword or
right.
a knife or a gun or, you know, with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And so thank you. And I hope those of you who have today off, who might be listening, are appreciating that legacy and in the time you get to spend at home or doing other things because of what he did.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, before we go further, let me give the phone number one more time.
Sure.
Because we have lots of open lines right now, 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. Want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher has the day off. Richard and I are here, and we would welcome your calls right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we've been studying, and we'll continue to study, spiritual warfare this month, and I wanted to finish off the whole armor of God situation in Ephesians 6. We've been through all the various pieces, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and on and on. Today, we're at the very last item, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want to maybe take a slightly different tack on this. Remember that the point of the armor, the point of spiritual, of being prepared for spiritual warfare, is to stand.
Right.
You're prepared, and you can do things when the Spirit takes you to do things, but this deal with the sword of the Spirit, if you have ever seen pictures of how the Romans did things with the legions, they couldn't be running around hacking and cutting with swords while they were standing in line.
Right.
But we Christians tend to stand in line and strike out at each other with the sword of the Spirit in an often bloody way.
Swinging away.
And, you know, the sword of the Spirit isn't for use on your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
It's for use when the Spirit takes you someplace that the Word of God needs to be given. And, you know, we hear this a lot here, and maybe I am too sensitive to it because we hear it so much, but everybody's against everybody else, right? You've got Protestants yelling at Catholics and vice versa, and you've got Reformed theologians and dispensationalists and Arminians and who knows, everybody's against everybody. You know, we've always been criticized as Christians for being the only people who shoot our own wounded. Well, how do those people get wounded? Probably by somebody whacking away with the sword of the Spirit in an inappropriate way.
Right.
And to put it in context, after Paul says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, I think that sword of the Spirit and the rest of the armor kind of go hand in hand with praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. And pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Now, that's the proper use of the armor in total, the sword of the Spirit in particular. We hear it in Hebrews 10 as well. The point of fellowship with like-minded believers is to build one another up in Jesus Christ, to strengthen one another's faith, to be there, just to stand there sometimes and not say a word, but just to weep with somebody or to smile with someone, just to be there. You can't do that when you got the sword in your hand and you're slashing this way and that, trying to prove that you're right and they're wrong. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So I think if we as Christian brothers and sisters would learn how not to use the sword of the Spirit, I think we'd be a lot better off. And if there's issues you want to take up on that today or anything else you're interested in, please give us a call.
Absolutely. We have calls coming in already, but still open lines and time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. First off, let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to Navarre, listening on WMCA out of New York City. Navarre, welcome.
Hello, yes.
Hello.
My question is 1 John chapter 2.
1 John 2, okay.
Chapter 2. And question is, if our sins are forgiven from the past, present, or future, why John said we sin, we can confess?
Okay, that's an excellent question. And in fact, John really does say that. So, anybody out there who thinks you know, don't assume the question is wrong, because that's exactly what John said. Confession has nothing to do with forgiveness and repentance. Jesus provided forgiveness at the cross. We make that real in our lives when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, and so we receive forgiveness. In him is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what do we do when we realize that we're forgiven people? When we sin, we simply confess, that is to agree with God. That's what the word confession means, to agree with God that, yes, Lord, at that moment I was not acting in faith, and because I wasn't acting in faith, I did something that was inappropriate. I hurt my brother or sister in Christ, or I wasn't consistent with my identity as your child. And so, of course, I will say, yes, Lord, I messed up. There's nothing to prevent us from doing that. On the other hand, if we have to do that in order to get forgiven, there is a dynamic at work in which fear takes over. And if you remember later in 1 John, he says, let's not work on the fear basis. Let's let perfect love cast out fear. If I think that I have to get forgiveness, then in my mind, I'm constantly thinking, well, I may have confessed that to get forgiveness a while back, but I should be done with that. And if I've done it again, now what?
Yeah.
What is God going to do? Is he going to whack me this time instead of forgiving me? But because we are forgiven, because he has already taken away sin, because he has brought us to himself, wiping out the crevice that existed between us and God because of sin, there's no longer any condemnation. So we are free for the first time in our lives to say, yes, Lord, I know that I messed up. And he says to me, instead of condemnation, he says, yeah, I know that. You are a forgiven person because I love you so much and you're mine. Let's talk. Let's figure out how to change your mind, your thinking from the inside out, rather than just trying to put a Band-Aid on by behavior modification, which is an outside-in approach and never works long-term.
Yeah.
I mean, behavior modification can keep you in a job, but it can't get you saved or keep you saved.
Right.
And so John is completely consistent. He wants people who are denying their sinfulness to acknowledge their sinfulness and come to God. And those of us who already have come to God for eternal life in Jesus Christ are privileged to confess our sins. There's nothing in 1 John 1:9 that says ask for forgiveness. It just says agree with God. Whether you're lost or saved, agree with him and let him do what he's promised to do.
That's Basic Gospel, friends, and you found Basic Gospel on the radio. Thanks for Thanks for joining us today, and Navarre, hope that's been a help to you. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock right now. 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps this issue or some other issue, maybe some life issue that you're facing, some Bible question that our Bible passage you can't quite understand, good opportunity right now because we still have plenty of open lines and still have plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. East Orange, New Jersey. Let's talk to Donald, listening on WMCA. Hi, Don. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi.
Hi, Donald.
I asked a question about Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 24, mm-hmm. about we as a nation under God. If Jesus is going to have more judgment on those cities he preached and did miracles than he did in Sodom, how much more are we as a nation under God going to be held accountable on our day of judgment?
Well, I think you've got a point, and I think you might be taking a point too far, but let's deal with first
things
first.
See, what I'm saying is, in this reference to the moons being the color of blood in April.
Yeah.
According to, like, Tim LaHaye and other people that associate with him, they say something definitely is going to happen.
Yeah, and we'll see if that's the
case. We better be ready. Better be ready.
The only way we can be ready, well, let me go back. First of all, this passage in Matthew 11, Jesus' immediate context, of course, were these towns in Judea, in Galilee, and all of that. In a more general case, anyone who has received the kind of blessings that the United States has received, other countries in the world have received, individuals have received because of God's initiative to us, if we continually reject them and continually go our own way and refuse to acknowledge the God who has provided so much for us, then we should be afraid, because it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God unless you belong to him.
That's what's happening to our country now. They're
absolutely
allowing homosexuality, abortion.
Yeah. Those are the things that are easy to see. But there is an underlying arrogance in our country that is just nauseating to me. I watched the football games yesterday, the AFC Championship NFC Championship in particular in Seattle, and I saw some behavior during that game and afterwards that I thought was the epitome of arrogance and being thugs. It doesn't matter the team, you know, but it's a,
I know what you mean.
You know, what we've got in some of our football games
anymore.
is the same thing that the Romans had in the Colosseum. You know, we're not going to be satisfied until somebody gets killed, it seems to me.
Right.
And that's a tragedy.
That's right.
So what is the answer to that sort of thing? Well, the answer isn't a call to national repentance, because that never happens. It could have happened with Israel in their day because of the Mosaic Covenant and the way it was formed. Now that we live under a different covenant, God deals with each of us individually. And so what our mission as children of God is to witness, to be a witness for Jesus Christ to individuals, to the people in our spheres of influence. Now, I have this platform, you know, Bob Christopher and Bob Davis, and I have this platform on these radio stations. Most people don't have that platform. Most people get to interact with 5 or 10 people a day, if that much. But you can still represent Jesus Christ, represent the love and grace of Jesus Christ, so that it's that love that draws them to him and not fear. I was saved originally through fear. I didn't want to go to hell. And so I thought maybe I should act better. Well, I found out that acting better wasn't cutting it, because I was still wrong on the inside. Until Jesus changed me from the inside out, I didn't know what salvation was. And so that's the message that I want to get across today. Everyone out there, you know people who are saved, you know people who are not. If you have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone who isn't saved, and perhaps plant a seed, then that's the best you can do, and you leave the results in God's hands.
The problem is that they mention they belong to a certain sect or a religion.
Yeah.
whether they be Jew or Gentile, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it.
So that has to be their choice. Certainly their blood isn't on your hands. You know, all you can be is a child of God and share what the Spirit gives you to share. After that, they make a choice. They face God on their own. You don't face God for them. Jesus faced God for them. That's the beauty of the gospel, is Jesus has done all the work. He's taken the initiative. And if we can love people with the love of him, the love of Christ, and then move on from there, I think we would see some changes. But I do not expect to see a national change, you know, like Congress is going to pass a law that says, oh, we were wrong, you know, everybody needs to worship Jesus. That wouldn't happen. It would be the wrong thing to have happen.
Yeah.
So thanks, Donald.
Hope that's been a help to you. Plenty of open lines, friends, 1-800-677-9377. Still time on the clock. Want to remind you that we have a very special something for you. For those of you who can make a gift to the ministry at this particular time, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and we need your support, friends. This ministry is very definitely a listener-supported ministry, and we're here every day to bring this good news into your home, into your office, into your automobile, into your life, and we really need you to stand with us. If this ministry is making a place in your heart and in your life, why, we encourage you to support it. And you can do that by going to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage. Or you can call during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. And request your copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, along with your gift to support the ministry of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. As I said, still plenty of time on the clock. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Russell, listening on WMCA. Hi, Russell. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, and I've heard many preachers and ministers preach on the topic that Jesus went into hell and took the keys from the devil. Is this true, and is there any passages in the Bible that refers to this?
I've heard that, too. I've looked at several different places in the Bible that people use to claim that. There's a passage in Ephesians, in particular, I think it's in Ephesians 2, that seems to indicate something like that. Nothing is explicit. In fact, if you look at the rest of the Jesus story, the fact that he was victorious over sin on the cross meant that he did not have to go to hell. He defeated Satan right there at the cross. And when he was raised from the dead 3 days later, that put an exclamation part. Point on the whole thing. And so so Jesus, by virtue of who he is and what he accomplished in what we call the gospel, that is death, burial, and resurrection, defeated Satan utterly. Now, at the time, it is true that certain graves were opened and people came back to life and went to heaven when he went to heaven, that sort of thing. But that's different than Jesus going into hell to kind of duke it out with Satan and take the keys. That gives Satan way too much credit. Satan is a created being. Jesus is not. Jesus is God. And so even though I see those passages, I fully admit they're there, I think we take them too far. We try to make them mean more than they mean if we take Jesus into hell to fight with Satan. Jesus didn't have to fight with Satan. Jesus, with a word, defeats Satan. And the fact that Jesus condescended to taking on our sin to remove that stain from us and then to give us eternal life is more than Satan could have ever imagined, and I'm sure he was scratching his head in confusion when it was all done. So that's how I look at it. Though some of those passages exist, but they are equivocal. They're not hard and fast. You know, Jesus went to hell. No, nothing in the Bible says that. So hope that helps.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Russell. Yes. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. We're going to do, you had something to add to that?
Well, something to what you had said earlier. We are starting this month a brand new partnership. We're calling it Basic Gospel Partners. Mm-hmm. And this partnership is designed for people who are willing to support us with at least $35 per month. We've talked about this for 6 months now. $35 takes our message via the radio airwaves to 100 people.
Right.
$35 reaches 100 people. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking for is people who are willing to give at that level or more. Okay. Obviously, we're not requiring anybody to give anything. This is something we'd like to see. We lay it out there and do with it as you see fit. You and God figure it out. But if we had a total of 1,000 people out of 150,000 who listen to us, who give $35 a month, and we already have more than half of those people doing that, so we only need about 400 more people
right.
to give $35 a month, at the end of this year, we will have no deficit like we had at the end of last year, because just that much giving, $35 a month, I mean, for my wife and I, that's just barely more than one meal out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an easy thing to think about.
And you eat a lot.
And I eat a lot, yeah. It's But $35 a month is not that big a deal, and if you can see your way clear through your relationship with God via the Holy Spirit to do that, it would have such an incredibly big impact on the world around you. Like I said before, not everyone out there has this platform that I have today.
Right.
You're not talking to 150,000 people. But everyone has a few people they can talk to, and everyone who doesn't have that big of an opportunity can leverage what they do through a ministry like ours.
Yeah.
There are others like us, but not too many. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a worthwhile investment, and I would highly encourage you to do that if you can.
And you can call right now, 1-800-727-2828, and speak with our operator. You know, $35 a month right off the top, you never miss it. Absolutely, you never miss it. Mm-hmm. And but it would make a big, big impact, as Richard said, on this ministry and our ability to make ends meet and pay the bills and continue to proclaim this good news.
Talking about Jesus.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, talk to Mary, listening on WFIA. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question is, what's the Mosaic Law?
Okay. The Mosaic Law, if you look in the Bible for that phrase, you won't find it. So the Mosaic Law is something that people over the years, over history, it's a phrase people have used to describe the covenant that God made with Israel at Sinai, because Moses was the mediator of that covenant. And so Mosaic only refers to Moses as the mediator of that covenant between God and the children of Israel. Does that help?
Well, I can't say that it has, but...
Okay. Well, what else do you need?
I'll have to... Can you say it again?
Okay. The Mosaic Law is called that only because when God made that covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, Moses was the mediator. So Moses brought the words of God to the children of Israel. Therefore, we call it the Mosaic Law.
Moses brought the law to the children of Israel.
Brought God's law to the children of Israel. That's why we call it that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Mary.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Hope you keep listening and call again if we can help. And if you called and didn't get through, we hope you'll hold on the line, because in about 6 or 7 minutes, we'll be back for part two of this broadcast, and we hope you'll be a part of that. In the meantime, thanks to everybody for being a part of this one. We are, as I said, listener-supported. We're on the air only because of your prayers and your financial support. And as a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount, you're going to receive a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that all of the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our store at basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. And to review what you hear each day on this broadcast, get on the list, the email list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcast. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if this broadcast has found a favorable place in your life and in your day, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now for Richard Pfeiffer, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.